Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Aesthetic Insider Radio. This is your host, Angela O'Mara. Today we're going to be having a conversation with Dr. Dennis Schimpf of Sweetgrass Plastic Surgery, which is located in Charleston, South Carolina. Dr. Schimpf has 4 locations currently in Charleston and is expanding to another 1 or 2 in the not-so-distant future. And patient lifetime and the value of a patient is extremely important, especially to Dr. Schimpf and his practices. But the key to success in plastic surgery can be very competitive, both academically and in business. And so today we're going to be talking with Dr. Schimpf about how RedSpot Interactive is really helping him keep on track with these multiple locations that he has and how they can help him truly understand the value of a patient over a lifetime and how best to retain that patient. Dr. Schimpf, welcome to Aesthetic Insider Radio. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
Absolutely. Well, you know, before we kind of go into discussing, you know, the various aspects of the practice, I know our listeners would love to hear, you know, more about you and your background. So if you wouldn't mind taking a few moments to kind of introduce yourself to our listeners.
Sure. Thank you. I sort of came to medicine and plastic surgery through a non-traditional route. I initially was a philosophy major, an undergraduate. I went to college on an athletic scholarship, and it wasn't until late in my senior year of college that I volunteered in an emergency room and just fell in love with medicine. I ended up going through a full general surgery residency first, and then a plastic surgery fellowship at the Medical University of South Carolina in Charleston. After finishing, I was fortunate enough to have been able to obtain a faculty position there and worked for about 5 years, mainly doing breast reconstruction. I started and ran their breast reconstruction program. Shortly after that 5 years, I transitioned into private practice, which is where I've been now for the past 5 years or so. And along that way, I went on to get an MBA degree in international business, focused in international business at the Darla Moore School of Business at the University of South Carolina. So sort of a non-traditional approach to ending up being a plastic surgeon.
Well, that is really interesting. You know, I've had you know, conversations with various doctors over the years who have started in one area and ended up, you know, in aesthetics. And yeah, yours is a new one as a philosophy major. It's kind of interesting,
yeah,
you know. But I can really understand that, you know, how you land in an emergency room and then you realize, you know, where your heartfelt passion is, and you obviously have translated it into, you know, extreme success, you know, for yourself and your patients, which is wonderful. So talking about patients, you know, and we hear this term, you know, patient lifetime value. So what is that and what does that mean?
Sure. Patient lifetime value, it's really a prediction of the total worth of a patient to a practice over the span of that relationship between the practice and the patient. And in order to successfully grow a practice, I think it's very important to realize how much value there is in these current patients, what the potential value is of them over the long run. And I think one thing that you can't really focus on or maybe put into that number as much as not only the procedures that they do, but also the referrals that they make for you, going out and telling friends and family about hopefully the good experience they had with your practice and choosing to come, you know, to you for additional procedures. And it's a great way to kind of get new technology and new procedures out quicker by having an established patient base who already has faith in what you've done and hopefully trust in your practice. It's much easier to get them kind of into the newer technologies and newer approaches.
And I completely understand that, because I do think, again, that, you know, the whole patient acquisition and retention process is not easy for many practices to kind of really get that down so that it's highly successful for them. Why do you feel it is important to know the patient lifetime value?
Well, I think that value, that number, honestly, the first time we really started looking at it, I was surprised at how much value there was in, say, a 30-year-old woman who walks in your door and starts with fillers or Botox and proceeds through perhaps, you know, having children, sort of breast aug, abdominoplasty, maybe liposuction at some point, and then transitioning into their, you know, 50s and 60s and undergoing face procedures and skincare and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's really shocking when you sit down and see the value in that. And it's very interesting, too, when you look at the value, not only the value, but also the cost of acquisition for these patients. You know, for us to go out and really get a new, brand new patient, we're spending a lot of money tizing to bring them in the door. Whereas if once they're in the door and they're happy, it's much easier to convert them, obviously, to additional procedures. And so the ROI, or return on investment, is obviously crucial to any business, and probably something that's underappreciated a lot of times in the healthcare field, whereas more core businesses really focus on ROIs. I personally, you know, definitely pay attention to it. I think there's two parts to an ROI that are often overmissed. One is there's a direct ROI, which you can say, you know, you paid this for an advertisement, this many people saw the advertisement and clicked on the button and, you know, hopefully had the procedure. Indirect is a little more difficult, and I think that's where things can be challenging. Things like print ads and billboards and stuff. You know, a patient or customer has to see something 5 to 7 times before they actually are, you know, brought to an action and pursuing that procedure or that whatever it is that they may be interested in. So it's harder to know that indirect ROI, but overall the ROI is crucial to any business.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, even just in terms of, you know, the old adage of it takes 6 times, you know, to make a first impression, you know,
exactly.
And it takes one time to make a bad impression, you know.
Yes, it sure does.
Yeah, and so I would think, you know, that yes, of course, determining the ROI, and I actually had never really thought of it in the terms that you talk about when you say, you know, a patient comes in for one thing in her 30s, and then along the lifetime of that patient, the value of all the other potential procedures that are in the future for her. And then I'm sure there's also spin-off from that in terms of referrals or the family members, mm-hmm. you know, which that comes in, you know, is not necessarily, you know, marketing so much as how you treat a patient, you know, how a patient feels when they come to the practice and what is your own internal process to keep that patient coming back to you.
Yep, and I think that's a lot of it is, you know, why you look at companies like Apple and things that just spend a great deal of money in branding and establishing a brand. But once you have that brand, you know, you want people to believe in it and come back to it. And, you know, that's not as much about marketing then as it is, you know, delivering a service and a quality service.
Of course. And then, of course, tracking is something are you able to do that with the platform that RedSpot Interactive provides you with?
We are, and they do that for us. And so they give us a printout or a diagram, I guess, of, if you will, of both charts as well as factual data, and just kind of outlining for us what we spent on a campaign, whether or not we converted folks, and how many of those folks ended up spending money, and then they track that over the lifetime of that patient and can let us know how many of the people coming in having something done are established patients or new patients. And I think it's important when we sit down to kind of look at, okay, where are we going to put X amount of dollars in marketing? You know, so you sit down with a fixed amount that you're going to spend, trying to decipher where exactly that's best spent. And I think a big portion of that is obviously dependent on the ROI and what they calculate for us. And then the other part is sort of personal interest in building a brand. And so I think trying to figure the right mixture of that is crucial to a successful growing business.
Yeah, I would agree. How do you calculate your practice's, you know, patient lifetime value? Is there a kind of a method for that?
Yeah, we basically look at the patient, the number of times that they've come in, and the amount of money that they've spent, and then that's tracked over time. And actually, RedSpot does that tracking for us. So we can definitely sample patients and calculate a number. But, you know, having a platform like RedSpot and somebody who's so in touch with our interaction with our patients, you know, they're doing everything in terms of lead management, making the appointments, seeing how many of the patients actually show up to the appointment, and then what they end up purchasing. So they have all of that data, and their CEO, Jason Tushman, is great at kind of interacting with the businesses and making us aware of what's going on and giving us advice. They do a lot of our advertising print work. I think they do a great job at creativity with those ads. But then he also will tell us, you know, hey, you spent X amount of dollars here in some print and it's not really converting. You know, you may want to put it into another area. And that's when you're running a business and trying to do the surgeries and kind of manage the practice, it's great to have some folks like them kind of looking over your shoulder and giving you a broader picture and some feedback.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine. So is there anything that you can do to improve the lifetime value of a patient?
Yeah, I think really trying to create loyalty within the patients is crucial. And, you know, it comes down to the staff and their interaction with your practice. And I think that starts, you know, from the moment they pick up the phone or send an email inquiry, they have to feel appreciated. And I think with the petition out there in the aesthetic market, you know, across all different specialties of medicine now, I think you can go somewhere and get Botox any number of places within probably a 5-mile radius of your office. Why people pick your office is hopefully their experience. Hopefully they feel like family. They feel like they came in and they had a good experience. You know, they're treated well. And I think the big thing you want to do too is build confidence with them. You know, you want them to be confident in not only what you're doing, but that you stand behind what you're doing, that you'll be there with them, help them through things if they have trouble, if they need touch-ups, if they need things done. We really want them to feel like we're in it with them, and we ultimately want one thing, and that's their happiness.
You know, I think it was author Maya Angelou who said something like, a person won't remember what you said, but they'll remember how you made them feel.
Right, exactly.
I think that's what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's, you know, aesthetic medicine is a little different than most forms of medicine. Obviously, people are paying cash for it. It's a purchase. And you know, the one thing that I truly believe is that although we're offering medical, cosmetic, aesthetic services, we're offering, you know, a product. And so if you're doing that, you have to instill confidence in the buyer or the consumer, or they're not going to come back, or they're not going to say good things about you. And, you know, I tell folks, you know, surgery is an art. There's no doubt. You know, there are no absolutes. There are no perfect, you know, 100s or 0%. And what I tell them is we'll do whatever we have to make you happy. And, you know, that's the best promise I can make to them.
So are there any kind of tips that you can give to our listeners on how, you know, to improve the patient lifetime value within the practice?
Yes, I really think you have to know your audience, if you will. And so I've thought a lot about that recently in that, you know, there's two ways of going about something. Obviously, you buy the newest technology and then you try to find customers or patients that want that technology. Or you look at your sort of patient base and say, you know, what can I offer that's going to help them, make them feel better and have more confidence in you? And if you can, I think matching those two up is key. You know, I think a lot of practices and a lot of doctors buy the next great thing, and it may not be what fits their practice or their patient sort of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they just got excited about it when they saw it at the trade
show. Right.
Yeah,
and I you hear people joke like, you know, the machine's not an ATM. You don't just buy these new technologies and put it in the corner like and expect it to spit out money. I mean, it has to be a marketing plan to it. There has to be resources that you're willing to commit to that product. And I think you have to know if it's something that's going to help your patients. You know, if it's the patients that you see on a regular basis, the lifetime patients who come back in on a regular basis, you really want to find those things that they're interested in.
Yeah, yeah. And I would think, too, in, you know, like we just talked a little bit about, you know, how you make a patient feel. And I would think that, you know, you're really trying to create loyal patients, and that does require for you and your staff to be extremely customer service focused in the practice. Would you agree?
Yes, they have to be. You know, we always say we really look for, you know, employees and patient care folks who have good interactions with the public. They may not have a huge fund of knowledge initially, medically speaking, and that's okay. We, you know, you can teach people the basics of what need to be in terms of knowledge for the procedures, what they need to know for the patients, but it's hard to teach somebody to act a certain way or to you know, make people feel a certain way. That's something that I think people either have or they don't, and you can foster it in some people and make it better, but they have to have that basis. And it's hard. You know, I think anybody that, you know, deals with the public, and obviously, again, they're paying cash, their expectations are very high. It can be trying. And I think the staff that we have is excellent at, you know, kind of just understanding what our really goal is as a corporation or as a business, and that is patient satisfaction.
And would you say that patient satisfaction kind of starts from the first call when an appointment is made?
Yes, I think it starts even, you know, with the advertising that you roll out, how you target them and how you make them feel when they look at your marketing. You know, marketing is an emotion, really, right? You're trying to make a connection emotionally with a potential customer or a potential patient. And I think that's why companies like Apple are so successful. I mean, they basically built a product that instills an emotion of, you know, obviously trust or high quality or, you know, enjoyability by the consumer. And I think we need to do that just as in the same manner and hopefully as well in order to be successful.
Yeah. And then, you know, can you kind of explain, you know, to our listeners again, because I really do think this creating this patient loyalty is part of the value. You know, it's understanding mm-hmm. the value and then making sure that over their lifetime they want to keep coming back to you and bringing that value to them. And so we kind of talk about, you know, you've done the marketing, you have, you know, they've either inquired into the practice through an email, mm-hmm. I would imagine, or through picking up the phone and speaking with somebody. From that first appointment, mm-hmm. what are the next steps in the practice that, you know, you feel kind of sets you apart in how you treat that patient? What are the next, is it follow-up, is it aftercare? You know, what are the things that you do?
Sure. I think the follow-up is crucial. I think one of the things that we try to do is the surgeons that we have that are practicing in our practice give the patients their cell phone number after surgery. They're able to have a direct contact. I think that makes people feel good. It gives them some, you know, peace of mind and some trust in the system. Knowing that if they're having trouble, they know, here's the number, call me, text me. If you have a question, you have a problem, you want to make sure that they have that trust. I think, you know, the one thing touching on earlier that I think is important in terms of building sort of lifetime value, I think making sure that each patient that comes in the door is aware of what you offer, what procedures you have, is important. Because somebody may come in looking at one thing, or they may have, you know, one thing done and not even realize that you offer a service that maybe 5 years down the road they come back in and now they want that service. You know, so if you might start out with a breast augmentation, but then later on, you know, want smart lipo or something else done. So we try to give each patient almost like a list of services that we provide or offer. And it's a, you know, small piece of paper with all of the things sort of listed. And I think that really helps them connect with the idea, well, I might need this right now, but they also offer these two other things down the road. So hopefully you become their first sort of top of mind choice when they start thinking about an additional thing down the road. And that's important, I think, to establishing that lifetime value, getting that sort of connection. You want that patient to always pick up the phone and call you first before they call anyone else when they're thinking about having something else done.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Now, let me ask you, would you agree or would you differ on, you know, existing patients and referrals? Do you think that it's true that, you know, the existing patients and referrals are two of your top three revenue drivers within the practice?
Yes, 100%. I think that the existing patients are by far the first, you know, sort of top priority in that list. They're a little different than somebody who just refers someone to you. You know, you can have your neighbor, you know, refer someone to you, or a friend of a family member says, oh, I know somebody who knows a plastic surgeon. But when the patient's actually had something done and refers you, then I think that just builds a tremendous amount of sort of validity in what they're saying, and they become trustworthy. You know, it's, they've had it done, they've been through it, they've experienced everything from making the appointment to having the procedure to the follow-up. And if they're willing to go on record, so to speak, to somebody else and say, this is where I would go, it's hard for somebody as a potential patient to argue with that, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. And then would you, I mean, and it also, again, it's kind of, it would cost you less, right, in the future, because you again, marketing and acquiring a patient is considerably more than keeping a patient in terms of outlay and revenue.
Absolutely, yeah. We our business model right now, we spend roughly 10% of gross revenue monthly on marketing. And when I really think about it, you know, that includes everything from radio to billboards to print ads to, you know, internet, pay-click type stuff, optimization of SEO type stuff. Once you have a patient in the system and they're a part of your contact list, simply drawing up, you know, a nice email and putting in whatever the new procedure is or offering a discount on some existing procedure, and you can instantly touch, you know, several thousand people with that one highly cheap message and convert people into revenue again, that's tremendously more cost efficient than, you know, obviously the thousands of dollars that go into marketing.
Yeah.
Now, I
yeah.
will say, and the thing that I think differs with healthcare versus other businesses is that while most practices or healthcare would say 10% is a large number of your revenue, when you look at sort of companies that are, you know, in different industries, true technology companies or consumer-based companies, you know, advertising is a necessity of business growth, and it's expensive. But if you don't do it, it's very difficult to move forward. And I think, you know, that's something that in aesthetics and in healthcare in general are a little bit hesitant to spend money, put it back into the business in that manner. And
yeah,
it's crucial to growth.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit like the chicken and the egg, which one comes first, you know, and it is hard, especially for a new practice that's starting out in having that revenue available, you know, when there's so many other costs.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that you really do have to grow into.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, I have a couple of other questions, but one of which is, you know, with the red spot, you talked about how they help you kind of figure out the ROI and understand your patient value and all of that. Is there, with that system, is there kind of a dashboard, if you will, on your website or in your program or somewhere where you have easy access to understanding, you know, at your fingertips, really, what is happening with, you know, everything that you're doing through the Red Spot platform? Can you explain that to our listeners?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, we are. We have access to a dashboard that is updated constantly with new information. Anytime that we have a question, or I've had a question about, hey, you know, sort of how's our conversion or how are we doing with some new scenario, we reach out to them and they've been great at getting that information to us. And I think the nice thing and the thing that I really like about Red Spot is that they have, I believe, 170-ish practices throughout the country. So I like the idea that when I ask them a question, they're not only sort of looking at my practice, they have experience or have touched multiple, you know, literally 100-plus practices throughout the country. And that sort of gives you the advantage of knowing sort of what's worked in other markets or in other scenarios and what hasn't worked. And they can give you some guidance on what they've seen in other practices. And I think that's important to helping me make a decision that I feel is in our best interest. And, you know, honestly, there have been things that I've mentioned or thought about, and they've said, well, that hasn't really worked, or that's probably not a good idea, or here's where you should maybe put the money instead. And they were right. And had they not had the experience with all of those other practices, they wouldn't have known that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's great, and I think it is. It's really good that you can kind of compare and contrast, if you will, as, you know, what works for the people, what doesn't work for the people. Of course, geographically, not everything works the same, you know. But
right.
That I do, in aesthetics, you know, there is kind of a basic you know, entry level, if you will, in terms of, you know, this definitely always works, you know. And
Yeah, and it's hard.
No, go right ahead.
I just was going to say the one thing that I'd like to take full credit for Red Spot being my idea initially, but it really wasn't. I was a little bit hesitant about kind of getting that involved with an outside sort of lead management company. Obviously, they have access to your scheduling and to your some of the financial stuff that they need to do for the ROIs. And that's a hard thing as a business owner initially to sort of let go of or let somebody in. And I'm very happy that I did it, but it is definitely initially not the easiest thing to sort of get over or to start.
Yeah. Well, you have to trust somebody with the foundation of your business, you know, your foundation of your practice. And I guess it's hard to let go because of, you know, trust in and effectiveness and all of that. So I totally understand that. But I'm happy to hear that you were able to trust Red Spot and that they're working well for you.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, you know, yeah, we have a couple of minutes left on the show, and I think my last question is, and it does have obviously to do because our whole conversation is about this patient lifetime value, which I actually find quite fascinating. But now knowing, you know, what you do, and again, like you said, it was a bit shocking at first when you think it's like a patient comes in for one thing, and then as you start assessing what might be their possible future procedures and the value of all of that, is how having that knowledge now and that dollar amount, if you can call it that, has that affected your marketing decisions?
It's definitely affected them in the idea that we do some direct email blasts and we try to really focus on them. And you know, there are some businesses, and I've been to a few meetings recently where folks talked in other industries about almost exclusively putting all of their funds and resources into existing patients at some point. So once you hit sort of a critical mass, it's almost not worth the money to go out and try to acquire more new people. You're much better served and much more economically feasible to really cultivate those folks that you have. So we try to do direct marketing when possible. We try to have a lot of information in the office so that when somebody's sitting there that they can see what else we have and have sort of experience with other things going on in the office so that they're aware of what else we offer. And we try to do patient events. We try to have open houses and food and have things where we just try to get our existing patients to come in and spend time with us. And I think that really comes down to building that trust and getting them to almost feel like family. You know, the more time you spend with them, the more you learn about them, the more they learn about you. You have that connection, and that's what really makes that patient lifetime value increase dramatically. And, you know, we see everything from patients who you might have seen in the ER, like a child, and then 5 years later, their mom comes in and now they want something done, or vice versa, a mom has something done and now their daughter's in their 20s and now she wants something done. So it's just I can't tell you how valuable of a necessity it is for business growth to have that lifetime value and make sure it's increasing.
Yeah. You know what I really like is I really like how this patient value is being highlighted by us right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think it's something that isn't entirely clear throughout the aesthetic industry, and a lot of it is it's like, well, she's had a procedure, so we're done now, on to the next patient. It's like,
right.
No, there's a lot more than that, you know, anyway.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know what, we have about a minute left on the show here, and I do, before we say our goodbyes, I would like to, for our listeners to know, Dr. Shimp, how they can get in touch with you if they have any questions or if they have any interest in learning about the procedures that you offer. What is the best approach?
Sure. Either our website is sweetgrassplasticsurgery.com, or our office number is 843-471-1135, and we're on social media multiple places. So any one of those ways would be great. We would love to hear from you.
Great. Well, thank you so much, you know, for your insight today. I really, really appreciate it, and would love to have you back on the show as a guest at some point in the future.
Great. I look forward to it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.